Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. And and if God accepted it, well, he lived.
Yeah.
And if he didn't accept it, he got fried. And it was for the sins of the people. But God would speak to him there. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, you remember in Luke, I think it is, Zechariah, the high priest, you remember he went into the Holy of Holies to do, and God spoke to him there and told him that he was going to have a son, John the Baptist, and that he would be tongue-tied. He wouldn't be able to talk till the baby was born. Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's where God spoke to his priest. Now, today, if you're a child of God, born again, in other words, if you realize you're a sinner, you confessed to Christ that you are a sinner, and ask him to save you, then and believe that he did, you become a child of God. Today, this is called the temple. Is it E-L or L-E?
L-E.
Okay. Well, and so what I want to show is this comparison. Today, if you're a child of God, we don't have that physical thing like they did in the Old Testament. Well, it is a physical thing. Mm-hmm. But what is the temple today for a Christian?
Our bodies.
It's our body. This is a temple also. And you know all this. And it's this outer frame that we have as a body. And then you have this soul here. And that is where all your emotions, your mind, everything, what makes you as a human being. Mm-hmm. Remember, God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. And so this soul is represented right here. And this it's this soul here. That's where, again, all your emotions. Remember over here, the soul is volition. That's your will. You say, why do I do things? Well, that's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. Why do I do this or that? It's your will. You have a free will that God gave every born again, every person, not just Christian. Every person has a will. And God does not mess with that will. He leaves that to you, a free choice of what you're going to do. Where you say, where did that come from? It comes from your soul. Okay? Then you have your mind in your soul, and then you have all your emotions. You say, why do you do the things you do? Well, this is where it comes from. What makes you your human being. But in your spirit, then right in the center of that is your spirit. If you are a child of God, born again, you know that when you got saved, Jesus Christ came in and he quickened your spirit because it was dead. Right? Mm-hmm. It was dead. It was dead. You didn't mean dead what? There was no connection between God and you, because God only connects through the spirit. He only talks through the Spirit. He only talks to you through the Spirit. Never does he talk to your brain or nothing else. He talks through the Spirit. So where does God speak to you from? He speaks from here. Just like he spoke to the Old Testament here.
Right.
And I just wanted to show you, if you're reading through that Old Testament and you all them things in the temple, everything about that temple is a picture as a child of God, a born-again believer today.
That's right.
Okay? You got this frame, that's your body. You got the holy place, which is the soul. And then you got the Holy of Holies. And my whole thing about this is where God speaks to you from. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, no, I get it in my brain. No, you don't. No. And so we want to go on with this, and I'm going to talk about this intuition. And again, we're going to add a little more to this. And all I'm doing is where does in our being? You say, well, where's our spirit at? It's in you. You say, well, where? Well, you can't see a spirit. They that worship me, God says, must worship me in spirit and in truth. You can't see his spirit. God is a spirit, okay? And God says, no man can see me, right? So he's in you. And we call it in the center, but he's your whole being. And so God in your spirit is your conscience, your intuition, and that's what we're going to talk about a little more today. And then communion, because you can only commune with God through the Spirit. You can't do it with your mind, can't do it with your body, and which is fellowship or worship. So you got conscience, intuition, and communion, or fellowship and worship, only through that Spirit. So where does that all come from? It comes from the same place where God spoke to the Old Testament saints. That's how he speaks to you. All right? So with that in mind, go to John chapter. And I think if, and I know this to be a fact because I'll talk to people. I'll talk to them out on when I run into them at the job, and they don't know why I'm asking questions. I just so you better be careful. I'll ask you questions. No, I'm just teasing you. And I listen to people, and they say, "Well, Christians talking, and well, God told me to do this." Really? Okay, I'm not arguing. And they always, well, then I think. With what God says, then they give their thought about it. And I'm saying, wait a minute. If it was from God, I'm not saying this to them, God doesn't speak to your mind. Mm-hmm. Okay? He speaks through your spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, intuition means knowing, and we went over that before, that when God speaks to you through your spirit, because that's the only way he speaks to it, and it comes into to our mind will catch that, and we will just know something. We don't know why we know it, but we know it's true. Mm-hmm. That's God speaking to you, and we've went over this before. But now look at John, if you would go to John chapter 14, and this is not new again, but I'm trying to get you to one point today. Okay. That, and here's what I'm trying to get to, is that I'll give you the point right now. Because if we can get this thing figured out, most of us don't have a clue when we think when somebody speaks to us and it's not audible, it's either going to be you speaking to yourself, Satan speaking to you, or you think God's speaking to you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever hear people say, I just hear lunatics, crazy people, mass murders, these voices kept in my ears, they drive me crazy. And we'll say, well, you're crazy. Yeah, but no, they are voices.
Right.
You have voices speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You're always talking to yourself in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not crazy because they're there. But the trouble is, most Christians, again, and there's some, we're just going a little deeper into it, most of us don't understand where that voice is coming from, who's speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me emphasize this, and I've said it before, that when if it is not God speaking to you, when something you hear something in your ears and mind, it's always in your voice. Do you ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
It's always in your voice. You recognize your voice. You like your voice. I've talked to deaf people about this, and they say, "Oh yeah, I can't." Even when a deaf person talks, I hear these voices. It's the way I speak. Who does that? Satan imitates your voice. And you know that. So let's go on here. Let's read our scripture. Now, in John 14, look at verse 25. Now, this is Jesus Christ talking, and he's saying in verse 25, let me make sure I got here. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, stop here a minute. Let me finish my reason of the point that I'm trying to get to. We don't know who's talking to us. And today in churches, as much as in the world, we have paid counselors that they make millions off of to help us with our problems that we have. I'm not making light because we all got a bunch of problems. But what I'm trying to get you to understand that as a born-again child of God, if you believe this book, you can believe what Christ done for us on the cross. Not only did he save our spirit and our soul from hell, but he saved our body. He saved us completely. Amen. And that's why Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Okay, we've been through that. But the thing of it is, as a child of God, if we'll just believe what he says in his book, and we talked about this in Sunday school, just believe in his word, that he will teach us. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. Remember, right here in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you most things. Does it say that? Or some things? All things. Anything that's going on in your life. He says, I'll teach you about it, and I'll guide you into it. Because you know what our problem is? We get voices going on. And we mess up. We jump the gun. We make our own decisions. And God says, wait a minute. I didn't send my Holy Spirit when you got saved and seal him inside of you, sealed until the day of redemption, till you die, for you to take somebody else's advice. I sealed myself in you. If you'll let me, I will guide you and teach you what you need to know about everything. And that's what Christians don't get today. They think they've got to do it themselves. And that is so contrary to the Bible that it's not even, it's silly. So he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, it's a promise, in my name, that's why we pray in Jesus' name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. How much peace is in the world today? You can hang all the signs you want up in town. A peace and joy. That don't mean that's not worth a hill of beans. Christ promised us that he would give us a comforter that would teach us and guide us and give us peace. He didn't say he would stop everything going on wrong in your life. He said, if you'll turn to me, I'll give you peace about it and help work you through this thing. Peace I leave with you. See, it's nothing that he's going to give. He left it with us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Boy, if you're expecting peace from the world and things going, yeah, you're in bad shape. And we are. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, don't be troubled or don't be afraid. And you know what's going on with people today? They're scared to death. Troubles going, and you know where it's going on at? right between these two floppy things right here. It's in your mind. And here in a few weeks, I'm going to continue this thing where your mind is the battlefield. And we're not getting it today through preaching on churches. We're getting to come in and preach to make you feel all good about yourself. And you go out, and when trouble happens, you have nothing to help you. Christians are scared to death. But God has not given us, what does it say in Timothy? But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're fearful, you don't have a sound mind. You know what we got today? We got a world full of morally insane people. Morally insane. You know what's taking effect in women and men all over the world? I hope I can get this all right. Narcissism. Do you know what a narcissist does? It's all about me. I want it now. I want it my way. And I will hook and crook and sneak and cheat and steal and do what... That's a narcissist. And they're in the preachers. Preachers. This is affecting preachers. Now, if it's affecting preachers, what do you think it's doing to the congregation? Because it puffs them up. They're so puffed, the world puffs us up. So it's all about me. I'm getting off my subject here a little bit. But the simple fact, that's what we've got going on in our Christianity. The people that I'm dealing with about mates being narcissists. So anyway. But that's, so let's get off of that. Now, go to 1 John. Toward the book of Revelation, if you get the Revelation back up, just about three little books. Well, go, no, you got Jude, and then 3 John, 2 John, and go to 1 John. Go to 1 John, chapter 2, and this is, I want you to look what John says about this. Now, remember what we're talking about. We're talking about the intuition and how we don't need biblical counselors if we will obey the scripture. We don't need to pay somebody $300 an hour to help us get over our problem if we listen to the word of God. Did you understand today in many mega churches the counselors is a higher place than the pastor? In the Bible, the pastor is supposed to be the ruler or the pastor of the flock. And it's happening right around here. They've got counselors. The pastor doesn't. Hey, this book should be your counselor. Amen. So anyway, look, go to 1 John chapter 2. Now look what he's saying here, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now unction is God moved in it. It's from God. He placed in some to you to do what? To know most things? Know all things. Now, you have an unction, so you've been anointed. Now, look at this. When they come in there, the anointing that was on that priest, he went in and he received the message from God. He had to be anointed. Remember that? Remember he had to go through all this ritual? And they'd put blood of the lamb on his toe and on his ear and on his thumb, I think. And they anointed him with the blood. But when you got saved, you were anointed with the blood of Christ. So when you go into the Holy of Holies, God speaks to you there because of your anointing. Okay? And so what we're getting at is when God speaks to you, he only speaks to you through your spirit, which is for us is given intuition. And the word intuition simply means knowing. Knowing. All right? And so that's how God talks to you. So that's what we're getting at. So he says here in verse 20, but ye have an unction. What's that? God placed in you that Spirit of God, his Spirit, from the Holy One, and you know all things. You say, well, I'm a know-it-all. Well, only if you let the Holy One, which is the Comforter, teach you and guide you. But we have a bad habit of kind of taking the reins in our own hand, don't we? I know what's best for me. No, you don't. No, I don't. I get myself in more trouble. And I have a hunch that you do too. If you're in trouble, it's because of you. Right? Okay. He says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. Now he's talking to Christians here. But because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, John 8:44, it says the devil is a liar and the father of it. Every lie is of the devil. And he says, you know the difference between a lie and the truth. You know what Satan's done today in our minds? Just camouflaged that thing. We don't know the truth from a lie. We believe lies all the time. And God says, that I didn't create in you, and I didn't put myself in you for you to believe a lie. And if you believe a lie, it's our responsibility. So he says, verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And that's what he is. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now, who's he talking about? Somebody is seducing you. Where? Between your ears. Remember over in Galatians, and William was talking about in Galatians chapter 3, and he's just getting ready to go into chapter 3 over at the Veterans Home, Paul told these Galatians, he says, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He wasn't talking to people of the world, he was talking to Christians. Somebody had bewitched them. Here, somebody, he says, somebody here, John is saying that somebody's been seducing you. Now, what's another word for seduce that you could use? Rape. That kind of brought it home, didn't it? Somebody's been raping your mind. What is seducing or rape? Taking advantage of somebody by force. Overcoming them against their will and having your way with them. Hello, Satan. What? In our mind. Not the spirit. On our minds. And we're letting it happen. Why? We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand who's making these sounds and what's going on. And so here he goes, and he says, let's see, he says, but these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Now, God says, why are we allowing something to rape us, our mind, seduce it? He says, but the anointing, remember, if you're a child of God, been born again, you have an anointing from the blood of Jesus Christ. But the anointing in you, and you need not that any man, now he says, but let me back up. But the anointing which you have received already of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things. What was you anointing with? Christ said, when I go, I will send the Comforter. And he will be in you, and he will guide you and teach you all truth. And he says, you don't need any other man telling you what you got to need to do. That's what I'm trying to get to you. But you know our problem? We don't understand that daily walk with our Savior, bringing everything to him and humbling ourselves to him. Yielding our mind to him. And because remember, he saved all my body. He saved everything about me. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. He saved my spirit and he sealed it inside of me. But he also saved everything about me. My soul, my body, my emotions, my mind. It says that you need to be renewed in your mind. You need to understand that, you know, something dead can't do anything. Now, if Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. You're crucified, you die. Everything about me was dead. But he says in Romans 6, resurrected to a new life. Resurrection is new life. It's a rebirth. It's a new birth. It's a renewing of everything. And that's what we need to understand, that we... listen to this. Well, I can... I'll quote it to you. I'm going to preach a message on it here before long. Now, we're talking to Christians. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Anything cool about that? You know what happens to a sacrifice? It gets killed. He says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And then he talks about that you be renewed in your mind. Renewed in your mind. This is what we need to do every day. God, I know this old man is dead. Renew my mind, Lord. Quicken this thing. Strengthen the inner man. So, now, remember, in the Scriptures, we see how the Holy Spirit teaches us in the Old Testament when God spoke to his people. We saw that. Now, remember, the works of the Spirit are intuition, communion, and conscience. Spiritual sensing is called intuition. Not thinking. Spiritual sensing is called intuition. Let me show you. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 9. I'm not getting very far in my notes. Romans chapter 9. Look at Romans chapter 9 and look at verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So now look at Romans chapter 2. He said, now notice he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now what's that bearing witness? It's your intuition. It's knowing. Remember what the Holy Ghost, Christ said, I send the Holy Ghost to guide you and teach you into all truth? Okay, read this again. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So again, intuition is spiritual sensing. You sense something and you know it's right, but you don't know everything about it, and it may even go contrary to what somebody else is trying to tell you. Because remember, if it's the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. He's nothing, there's no lie in him. And when the Lord tells us something through our spirit, and we just know it's a fact, it goes against our mind. It goes against our thinking sometime. But what do you have to believe? What the book said. So, go back to Romans chapter 2. Now remember, what comes out of the Spirit is intuition, your conscience, and communion. And we've read these before, but look at them. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these have not the law or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience. Every born person has a conscience. Now, look up here for a minute. If you've been saved and born again, your conscience, when you got saved, was crucified. In other words, your old conscience. And you know what? Your old conscience didn't bug you too much about anything, did it? We just sinned, and 'cause everybody else done it. But when you got saved and you tried to do them things, now that you got a renewed conscience, bugs the fire out of you, doesn't it? Why, it should. He says, so bearing witness and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And that's what we do. So on every person born, God has written his law in their hearts and in their very being. You can go to the deepest part of any people that know nothing about a God, and they know it's wrong to murder. They know it's wrong to commit adultery. They know it's wrong to steal. Okay? Why? It's written in their heart, in their conscience. Now, just a side note. Remember we were talking about Israel? For Israel back in the Old Testament, victory for Israel back in the Old Testament was not on what or how they thought, but on where the ark led them. Where was the ark? Where's the Holy Spirit? What led the Old Testament saints to where they, you remember when they set up camp? What's supposed to lead the Christian today? Amen. That's it. You say, that's too simple. Yeah. It goes right over our head so much. As today for us, victory and usefulness lies in the teaching of our intuition, knowing what God says, and our conscience, and not in what man thinks. Something may come to your mind to do, but something comes into your mind. Just all of a sudden comes there. But all of a sudden, something from someplace else wells up and says, don't do that. That's wrong. The thought came in the brain, but the latter came from our intuition, our conscience telling us, don't do that. And we don't pay attention to that because we don't recognize it, that it is really God speaking to us out of the holy place. We need to understand, now, okay, here we go. We need to understand the difference between knowing and understanding. Now, generally, we don't make much distinction between these two words, but in spiritual matters, and that's what we're here in church for, everything about your life is spiritual if you're a born-again Christian. But in spiritual matters, it's a really big deal. And here's the difference. The spirit knows, while the mind understands. Did you get that? The spirit, intuition, knows. God doesn't tell a lie. When he speaks to you, he speaks to you of truth. You don't have to worry about it being a lie. But when this says something, and all of a sudden from someplace in you, something dwells up in you, and you don't know exactly where it's coming from, and you don't exactly, that's God speaking to you saying, don't do that. The mind simply understands. A child of God knows the things God by the intuition of the Spirit, while the mind can only understand it. It can't know. We can know something that God has showed us through his word, but our mind fails to understand what the meaning of it all is. Right? If you've ever been in the Bible, God will show you something in that Bible and you'll sit and shake your head and say, I'm not getting that. But yet you know it's truth. Why? You're thinking, and God's teaching you something through your intuition. And the problem, and the thing, but when we allow God to work our mind through that, he is telling us, then all of a sudden, I say, now I understand. But you know what we do? We come up against something. Whatever it is. And God, something dwells up in us, and we don't recognize where it's from. And this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. That thing that just comes up, or the hair on the back of your neck, that's God speaking to you. Not on the hair of your neck, but you know what? God's trying to show you something. You need to stop. Stop. It says, be still and know that I am God. You stop what you're doing and turn to God and say, God, I believe it, but this mind, I can't get around this thing. I can't get a hold of this thing. Come on, you've done that. And so you better stop and start praying about this thing and letting him work your mind, that renewed mind. Lord, you're going to have to renew my mind here. I'm just not getting this thing. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it may take a long time. I don't know when, but something will happen. You'll hear something, and God will say, there it is. And all of a sudden, it's just as clear as a bell. You know it's right. Your mind has finally got a hold of that thing. The experience shows us that we know God's thought in our spirit intuition, but understand his guidance in the mind of our soul. We just don't. Remember, the mind is in the soul. God thought in our spirit, our intuition, again, but understanding, His guidance, it comes from the mind. We've got to let God work us through it. Why do you think everything this world is a hurry up? Time clock, God, I mean everything. God says, be still. When this thing, stop it. And let me work your renewed mind through this to where you're understanding clearly what I am teaching you. Because if you try to understand it without a renewed mind, you get confused and angry. And you give up. And you just take control of yourself. You ever hear somebody, get a hold of yourself? That's the wrong thing for a Christian to do. Okay? Now, so, we're about done here. Go back to 1 John, over toward the book of Revelation. And 1 John and chapter 2. Now look at this thing. 1 John 2, remember what it said in 27? Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received, you've already received it, of Him abideth in you. It's there. Everything you need. Our problem is we're not waiting on God to work our mind through it. We're so used to a remote control for a TV that we don't like it, we just change it. And that's the way we think about things. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. See, when you let, you hate to be lied to. Oh, man, I tell you, doesn't that frost you get lied to? Do you understand how much Satan lies to us all the time and tell us that it's going to be okay and you don't need this and you got a hold of this, you can handle this? No, you can't. He's a liar. Now, this is the point I have to be trying to get to. John says here that the same Holy One who anoints you when you got saved then also teaches them to differentiate truth from lies. Now, that's a pretty good promise right in itself. And what is of Christ and what is of the Antichrist? Therefore, Christians that do not require other men to, they don't need somebody else to tell you what to do. They have an indwelling, anointed one teaching us what they need to know about any problem we have in our life. This is called, in other words, spiritual discernment, which many of us do not have. Listen to this, Matthew 16. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and low ring. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the skies, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Boy, we can discern a lot of things, can't we? But we can't discern that Holy One that is there promising, that's made a promise that He'll guide us, but you're going to have to do it on His terms and in His time. That's just the way it is. He doesn't do things on our time clock. Now, let me real quick, let me go into another, Revelation. Now, we got a book called Revelation, right? Now, to know things in our intuition is what the Bible really calls revelation. Now, go to Galatians chapter 1. We're talking about the mind, how we receive things from God, what we're to do about it. But go to Galatians chapter 1, just after 2 Corinthians, just before the book of Ephesians. But I want you to see this. It's Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 11. Paul was talking here. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So how did Paul get the gospel that we now preach from Jesus Christ? It came through his spirit, and it was in his spirit's intuition. And his, do you think Paul could grasp the gospel? He was a beard-growing, Sabbath-abstaining, pork-abstaining Jew. He didn't know nothing about a gospel of the grace of God. He knew the law. He couldn't, his brain couldn't, but you know what? It took 40 days for, didn't take God that long, but Paul, 40 days back there for God to work his mind through that thing to where he understood it and says, praise God, this is wonderful. Saved by grace through faith and not of yourself, is a gift of God. Now notice that thing. And so Paul says, so when God speaks to you, we talk about how great the book of Revelation is, and it is. But every time God speaks to you through your intuition, your spirit, it's a revelation. Yeah. God, what is a revelation? God revealing something. That's what it means. And God does not explain himself by man's reasoning. Never does. Man come to know God through any form of man's rationality. You know what this tells me? You think you got to be smart to understand things of God? Oh, no, 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 no. Because God doesn't talk to your brain. You can be dumb as a fence post and be filled with the Spirit and Spirit. Praise God for that. I'll show you that in a minute. No matter how clever a man's mind is and how much he understands about God, his knowledge of God remains veiled. Book knowledge is here. You go to Bible school, you don't learn about how God, you learn about things of the Bible. It's all put up here. And what is knowledge? It's knowledge. And what does knowledge do to you? Puffs you up, makes you think of something. His knowledge of God remains veiled. And all he can do is rationalize. Now think about that. What is behind the veil? Since he has not yet seen. Do you ever say, I see that thing now? Since he has not seen, man can only understand, but can never know, because he's working off his own. If there is no revelation, personal revelation, Christianity is worth nothing. We have to hear from God. And that's why so many Christians today are struggling and hurting and afraid and scared, because they know nothing about hearing from God. They've got so many voices going on in their mind. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this kind of revelation is not a vision or a heavenly voice, a dream, or any external voice which may shake the man, which we see in Christianity today. And Christian may encounter even miracles and still not have a revelation from God. Revelation only happens in the intuition. Quietly. Not hastily. This is where I'm telling you, what you see going on today is contrary to the Bible. A Christian can encounter the miracle and all this stuff and still not have a revelation, because a revelation only happens in the intuition from the Spirit, quietly, not hastily, not slowly, and even soundless, but yet there's a message. There's a message. Listen to this. And you know it. But that's why we got to have music or something going all the time. We don't want to hear God talk to us. Listen to John 3. John 3 and verse 11. It says, now this is talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. That's the whole, you got to understand what that Holy Spirit is there for. This is Christianity. Searching with intellect never delivers men. You go to some of the smartest people in the world and you spend thousands of dollars and you walk away and after about 15 minutes just as empty as you was before. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you the truth. Searching with intellect never delivers men. Revelation in the Spirit alone gives true knowledge of God, because knowledge puffeth up. Now, let me turn to 1 Corinthians and we'll close here. I'm going a little long. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right after the book of Romans. Now, you think you got to be smart, highly intellectual? No, that's a hindrance to Christianity. Now, God wants, and we've all got brains and we know how to use them. God wants us to use them, but he wants a renewed mind. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your call, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Question. Is God compelled to rely upon his own brain? Think about that. Is God compelled to rely upon his own brain? No. Not at all. God has no necessity to indulge in such exhausting, sweating exercises. His knowledge and judgment is intuitively. As a matter of fact, intuition is the common faculty of all Christians only. Let me read this to you. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and this is wild, and I'll close. First, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, who was that? Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. Now, if Jesus Christ was justified in the Spirit, if you're saved, born again Christian, he's dwelling in you, you're justified. Where? In the Spirit only. I just thought that was a wild connection. If God says that Jesus Christ, though he had a body, he was justified in the Spirit. You've been born again Christian, you got a body, you're justified in your spirit. To what? Receive everything from God. Remember, you can come on up and let Jason pick her song. Your mind is a battlefield. Amen?